This is Doug Miller. The time ages. The time ages. What time age are we living in? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time this side of heaven with the Word of God in hand. Now, we invite you to come along. We're in the book of Habakkuk, and the last time we began with chapter 2, and the question, God's in his heaven, yeah, so what's wrong with the world? Well, we'll answer that more as we get deeper into this second chapter, which is rich and which will change your life. And I am telling you, if you're not blessed by this, I guess I owe you an apology. I just must not have the ability to put it out there the way it needs to be put out. But I just, pray for me. And bring your Bibles and open them up to chapter 2 of Habakkuk. And let's see what the Lord has for us from this very interesting and instructive passage of Scripture. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And you know what that means? If you think it means me just sitting at this mic talking, you got another think coming. There is opposition. We have an enemy who will do anything to block any kind of teaching that's halfway decent. And we have got all kinds of interference, and we have got problems, and we've got my own limitations, my own stupidity and fleshliness and stumbling. And we need your prayers. We cannot function at all without the prayers and support of the people who listen to us, and that means the Lord's people. And please write our names down on your prayer list. Pray for us. Tell others about us. And, of course, we'd always love to hear from you. If it's nothing more than, hi, how are you? If it's nothing more than, we're listening to you, we're praying for you, right on, brother. If we can answer any questions, if we can provide you with any help, please let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, then just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. All right. Last week, we ended up talking about the time ages, the ages that God has set up and through which we are rolling. And if you are out there and you don't understand dispensationalism, or you have been in a church that teaches that this, you know, that teaches some sort of covenant theology but misses the greater truth of dispensationalism, or you may even be in places where they teach that dispensationalism is evil and wicked there are a lot of people out there that don't like dispensationalism at all. What they want to teach you is that the Lord is in his holy temple and all the earth is keeping silence before him, but it is not. And that everything is right with the world, but it is not. And they want to teach you that Israel has been utterly rejected and that the church has co-opted all of the promises ever given to Israel. All not true. Not true. But they want to teach that, and they don't like guys like me who come in and teach dispensationalism. But I want to tell you something. Most of the great Bible teachers that I've ever known anything about have been dispensationalists. That not only means all of the 19th century brethren back there, John Darby and William Kelly, It not only means them, it means Watchman Nee. It means H.A. Ironside. It means Dr. Schofield, C.I. Schofield. It means George Mueller. It means, and just go down the list, godly men who looked into this Bible and said, yes, we're going to have to, if we understand it and if we want to take it literally, we're going to have to understand that God is dealing with people differently in different dispensations, or as I quoted to you last week from 2 Timothy 1:9, different time ages. Now, did Habakkuk, in writing this little book of his, understand the time ages? I don't think so. No indication that he did. But he has asked a question, as we saw several Saturdays ago, a series of questions. And as we saw last week, God has begun to answer those questions. And there are things going on that Habakkuk knew nothing whatever about, could not have known, could not have guessed at. And the things that Habakkuk couldn't know about and couldn't have guessed at, I will assure you that most of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ had no idea what any of this was. It took Paul to come along and open up the book and show us these things. And show us, you know, it's Paul's gospel that we are preaching and proclaiming in this time age we are now living through. What time age are we in? Well, it's the time age of grace. It's the dispensation of grace where salvation is going out to all the earth and to the Gentile nations, and people are being brought in and saved not because they keep the law, but by grace through faith, by believing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, if you are trying to come any other way, you are deluded and greatly deceived, my friend. If you think you're going to get saved by keeping the law, I've got news for you. You're not keeping. You've never kept it. Where are your animal sacrifices? Where's the parapet around your house? Where's the fringe around your garment? You're not keeping the law. You're not even keeping the Ten Commandments. You're not even probably trying to keep many of the Ten Commandments. If you're anything like me, you've lied, cheated, stolen. Salvation is by grace through faith, friends. And what Habakkuk didn't know and what the disciples of the Lord Jesus didn't know is that God had a time age out there in the future, from the time Habakkuk wrote this, in which His clock, His Israel clock, if you want to look at it that way, was going to stop ticking for a specified time, in which the telephone to Israel was going to be put on hold for a specified time. And so far, that specified time has been, well, it's coming up on 2,000 years, isn't it? When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and the church was established, something happened. Now, the apostles were real slow to accept this. They didn't understand it. Remember when Peter went down to Cornelius' household, the 10th chapter of Acts, baptized a bunch of Gentiles, uncircumcised people. Remember when that happened? Remember the reaction back at the church in Jerusalem? They were outraged. He had to explain Himself. They were stunned to find out that the Gentiles were being brought in. When Paul and Barnabas in the 15th chapter of Acts came back from their missionary journeys and with the question, do the Gentiles who are being saved have to be circumcised and keep the Mosaic law and keep the Sabbath? You go back and read what Peter and James and those and the apostles in Jerusalem said. The answer is a resounding no, no, no. That's not for them. They don't have to do it. And by then, even they, the guys in Jerusalem, realized they were into a different time age, that God was doing something new that they never could have understood or imagined. Well, if they couldn't, what about Habakkuk back here? Habakkuk in verse 4 of chapter 2 looks far ahead to a time age that he knew nothing about, and he wrote about it, but he didn't know about it. He didn't really fully grasp what he was asking. Now, Let's look at it. And the key is in this chapter 4, or verse 4 rather, the just shall live by his faith. Now, we were talking about that last time, and I quoted it, and I said last week that this verse is quoted 3 times in the New Testament, and it is quoted 3 times in the New Testament, and 1 time is in Romans 1:17, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, there is Paul writing to a bunch of Gentiles, the just shall live by faith. He gets to it again, if you will, in the little book of Galatians. In Galatians, we read it again. It is quoted again. The just shall live by faith. And if you, if you think about it, the just shall live by faith. You look at what Habakkuk wrote. He said the just shall live by his faith. But Paul simply says in both of these places, the just shall live by faith. Now, if you take a look at what we've got, and incidentally, if you're interested, that's in Galatians 3, verse 11 is where Paul quotes that. Now, we saw last time the writer of Hebrews also quotes this one, and he quotes it in Hebrews 10:37, the just shall live by faith, 3 times in the New Testament, and 2 of those are aimed at a bunch of Gentiles. Gentiles who, in both cases, and particularly in Galatians, needed to know and be told. I mean, these guys were involved in what I have come to call the Galatian heresy, the heresy that you're saved by grace through faith, but kept by your own works through keeping the law. That is right out of the pit. And Paul makes it very clear. And if you don't believe that, you had better read Galatians on your knees. The just shall live by faith. Now let's pick up Habakkuk 2:4 again. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, the lifted up soul, the proud soul, what do we have here? Well, a number of things, but certainly I think the contrast, he is contrasting Habakkuk, the proud lifted up man, with the man living by faith. And so I would have to say that anyone who is out there thinking that somehow you are being saved by being good, by keeping some law, by living up to some code of behavior, whether it be the Ten Commandments or the whole Mosaic Law or the Sermon on the Mount or, what have you, if that's what you think you're doing, you know what you are? You're a proud, lifted up man, and your soul is not upright in you. You want to know why? Well, let me tell you why. It is because you don't understand what you are. You have not been broken and brought to the place where you understand that there is nothing you can do to save or keep yourself. You are a sinner, you are ruined, and all of the good works you can pile up will not override that simple fact. And once you are saved, if you say, well, now I can go on and by myself I can keep myself. Once again, that's nothing but arrogance and pride. How long does it take before the Lord breaks you and takes that sort of thing out of you? Well, I don't know, but it's got to happen. You've got to understand that as you are saved by grace through faith, you're being kept by grace through faith. You are to walk in faith. If you are a just individual, and this, let's read justified, one who has been justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ knows very well that he, she is being kept by grace through faith. And it's this ongoing walk of faith that glorifies God. Not my trying to be righteous. I never have been able to pull that one off. Any of you who know me very well know very well what I am. And if you don't know what you are, well, welcome to the real world, I hope. I hope somehow you'll figure it out. Now, it is this verse, verse 4, that makes it clear to me that Habakkuk is looking forward to an age, a time age, that was not in existence at the time that he wrote this. Because he wrote this under the law. And under the law, you're not living by your faith. The just man's not living by faith under the law. He's living by his own efforts. Once again, if you don't understand that, go back and read Galatians. The law is not faith. It has nothing to do with grace. You know, it's put out there, and there it is. Live it. Now, you can't do it. If you believe you can do it, I'd suggest you take a look either at yourself or at the history of Israel and ask yourself if they ever did it, which they didn't. But you need to look at this. The just shall live by his faith. And then in verse 5 and on down through the bulk of this chapter, we are looking at the proud, lifted up man. And it is very clear. I said last time that some of the great teachers have taught that this is all about Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And I said, and will say again, yes, it is about Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, but it's not all about him. Because really, when you see it in the context of the time age we are now living through, how is this time age we're living through going to end? Well, this time age of grace that we are living in now is going to come to an end when the Lord comes back for his church. There will be the trumpet, the shout, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the age of grace that we are living through right now, this time age when the just lives by his faith, is going to close out. And what's going to happen then? Well, we're going to be living through the terrible time that the Lord talked about and prophesied in Matthew 24. The time of the end, the last 7 years, the last week of Daniel. And the Lord characterized this as a time so terrible. There has been nothing like it before up to the time he said it. And he said there'll never be anything like it again. And for those of you out there who are under teaching, which mistakenly teaches that all of this occurred in 70 AD, I've got some good advice for you. Get out of there right now. Just get out of there and go find yourself someone who can open this book up in a profitable and correct way. Because 70 AD wasn't the worst time that ever came along. And there have been worse times since, both for Israel and for the world. And the time that we are talking about after the church is out of here will be the worst time in the history of humans. And once again, God may be in his heaven, but all is not right with the world, and things are getting worse, and things are shaping up in such a way as to make it clear to me, and I hope to you, that we are approaching this time when the Lord's going to take the church out of here. And if you are left behind, what are you going to have to deal with? This individual of whom Nebuchadnezzar was merely a picture. He was merely a poor picture. A man is going to come along who is going to rule the world. And he is going to rule the world in pride and arrogance. And he is going to have nothing to do with God, though he is going to present himself as Messiah, and Israel will accept him as Messiah. And he will begin his reign by bringing a temporary peace to Israel, by signing a treaty with them, a treaty that will allow them to rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount, and they will indeed think that the millennial reign has begun, and in fact, it is going to be a terrible, horrible lie. Now, I have pulled together a number of things there from a number of places to tell you what I've just told you. Out of the book of Daniel, out of the book of 2 Thessalonians, out of the book of Revelation. And let's read now in Habakkuk some more things about this great ruler that's coming, whom we know of as the Antichrist and the Beast. He transgresseth by wine. He is a proud man, neither keepeth at home. Who enlargeth his desire is hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Now the word is all, and Nebuchadnezzar did not fulfill that. He had a bunch of them, but the ultimate Antichrist, the ultimate Babylonian ruler, will have all of them. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his? How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly, that shall bite thee, and awake, that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations? All the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Now this is the ultimate end. This was the end of Nebuchadnezzar, and it will be the ultimate end of Antichrist. He is going into the pit. And at some point, people will awaken to the fact that this guy is not what they thought he was. Now, people are easily deceived, in case you haven't noticed. People are very easily deceived, and it is very easy to sell them a bill of goods. You come along, and if you can talk, and you can, you know, talk about, oh, how I'm going to change things, and boy, we're going to all get together and love one another, and blah, blah, blah. It makes you want to vomit at times. And the thing that really makes you want to vomit is how easily deceived people are and how willfully deceived they are. But sooner or later, even the most deceived of people wake up and begin to see the truth and smell the roses, as it were. And here is exactly what's going to happen with Antichrist. Those who are not caught up when the Lord comes back for his church, those who are going to have to live through this dreadful tribulation, are going about halfway through it, 3.5 years into it, are going to see the truth and are going to realize something. We have been deceived. We have been left behind. And the church is gone. And this man that we thought was great is a deceiver and a liar and a murderer. And it'll be too late then for most of them, because the Bible makes it very clear that not many people will survive that great tribulation period. But those who do will see this man for what he is. And we are about out of time, and we'll have to take this up at verse 9 next time, Lord willing. But I want to ask you all who are listening to me, are you saved? What if the Lord came back within the next 5 seconds? Would you be left behind, or would you go home to be with him? Are you that just man, that just woman, living by faith? Or do you really imagine that somehow you can work your way to heaven? I beg you, I implore you, listen to the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Why don't you believe that and lay hold on it and be saved? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.